It took me quite some time to discern the common thread in our readings today. But since we are in the season of Pentecost, and I should have known that our readings would have something to do with prayer and being in communion with the Spirit of God. All of our readings this Sunday present to us examples of prayer and discernment with the Spirit from several different points of view. The most obvious example of prayer and discernment is our gospel reading from Matthew. A typical day in Jesus' ministry on earth. After a long day of preaching and teaching, Jesus sends the people and his disciples away and secludes himself to pray. What could be a more typical passage in any of the Gospels? But notice how long Jesus is praying in this passage. He prays through most of the night, into the early morning. My impression is that Jesus often prayed into the early hours of the morning. It was probably the only time of day when he could be alone, when it was quiet. That time of stillness to reflect and to allow the Spirit of God the time and space to speak to him. Jesus shows how important it is to have this time for prayer and reflection by his example. We see something similar in our reading from 1 Kings. The prophet Elijah was fleeing for his life from King Ahab and especially Queen Jezebel. Elijah was the sole remaining priest and prophet in Israel. All the rest of the priests having been killed by their majesties Ahab and Jezebel. Elijah finds refuge in a cave high up on a mountain. He must have been relieved to have found this hiding place, this place of safety, this place to reflect, this place to pray, this place to wait and discern what God wanted him to do next. Elijah is told that God is going to visit him just outside the cave on the mountain. A mighty windstorm sweeps past. Elijah does not even go outside because he knows that God is not in the mighty wind. An earthquake shakes the mountain. Again, Elijah does not bother to go outside because he knows that God is not in the earthquake. A fire then sweeps over the mountainside, and again, Elijah does not stir from his cave because he knows that God is not in the fire. Only when the sheer, profound silence settles over the mountain does Elijah get up, cover his head, as is the Jewish custom when in prayer, and go to the mouth of the cave because God is in that sheer, profound silence. It is this profound silence when we are calm, when we have emptied our minds of our concerns, our worries, when our thoughts are quiet, that we may be able to hear the Spirit of God speaking to us. What is our prayer life actually like? Again, from our gospel readings, we read that after Jesus was finished praying, he walks across the water through a violent storm to where the disciples were struggling to keep the ship afloat. They see Jesus out in the storm, walking on the water. They hear him over the sound of the storm and think they are seeing and hearing some sort of ghost across the water. Peter asks Jesus to command him to walk across the water, and Jesus calls to Peter to join him. This passage about Peter crossing the water feels like many of my experiences with prayer. How often have I started to pray to attempt to walk across the gulf that separates us from God, only to start to sink, to be distracted by the violent storm that sometimes is the world around me. The violent storm that sometimes is my own thoughts and fears. And finally, as I'm going under, I call out to be saved. Oh God, make speed to save me. Oh Lord, make haste to help me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy upon me. For 1,500 years, Christians have prayed these three simple prayers to our Lord to be saved, to be helped, and for Jesus Christ to show us his mercy. As fallen human beings, I believe we all have these problems in prayer. I certainly do. It seems that most Christians, since the time of the apostles, have had these problems with prayer. That is why we must continually practice prayer. And through trial and error, find out what works best for each one of us at each stage in our lives, to help us in listening to the Spirit of God. In all our examples of prayer, reflection, and discernment up to this point, we have concentrated on that personal journey of faith. We travel alone in our personal relationship with the living God. Paul, in our reading from Romans, takes our discussion to the next level. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? What in the world is Paul talking about here? John Gill, the Baptist theologian, in his commentary on Romans 10, verse 15, really helped me to understand the meaning of this passage. Ordinary mission is of people to be pastors and teachers. For whom Christ sends forth into such service, he bestows gifts on them, fitting them for it. And it also includes a call unto it, which is by the Spirit of God and the inclination of the heart to this good work which he forms, and which arises not from a vanity of mind and a desire for popular applause, but from a real concern for the good of souls, being willing to deny themselves and forsake all for Christ. Paul's four questions in our reading from Romans are about how we are to call and select our ministers, our leaders and teachers in the community of Christ. Paul is laying the organizational groundwork for growing Christianity from a small group of believers to an organization, a church. He is asking how we should listen for and experience the Spirit of God when we believe we are being called to ministry in that larger church organization. It has been more than 2 years since I started my own discernment process. Feeling a call to ministry, I met with my discernment committee here at St. Martin's, and we feel this call is to diaconate ministry in the Episcopal Church. I had no idea what discernment meant before I started this process. I thought that it would involve an objective, logical analysis of the needs of the greater church, the needs here at St. Martin's, and how my skills and talents could be used to meet those needs. I was thinking about church ministry in terms of getting hired to do a job, or fill a position or role as in a business. I had, and I still have, a great deal to learn about discernment. However, I have learned what discernment is not. Discernment is not about what you want. Discernment is not about your talents. Discernment is not about what the church needs. Discernment is about listening to the Holy Spirit and letting God direct you to where you should be. Discernment does not end after you are called to some ministry. Discernment continues. The proper place for you today may not be where God needs you next year. As I started to understand what discernment is about, I was surprised by how familiar it turned out to be. It seems I have been in discernment all along. I just did not know what I was doing. And I have been using it for trivial things. All this time in my work, when I have been stuck on some network or programming problem, I clear my mind to either not think about anything at all or think about something completely unrelated to my current problem. And then suddenly, from out of nowhere, I will receive an idea about how to approach that particular problem or how to put together a solution. The artist waiting for inspiration or the engineer waiting for that technical insight are in discernment. They are opening themselves, allowing their own divine nature to commune with the divine nature which is present in everything in the universe around us. When we are inspired, we manage for just that brief instant to hear God's voice, the Spirit of God speaking to us. I have found that in discerning what God wants me to do, I am discovering what I am capable of becoming. I am learning who I am. As God is our Father and Creator, knows us far better than we know ourselves. It is a startling and a humbling experience to be 51 years old and to be finally learning who I am. I'd like to leave you with this thought. Discernment is for everyone. Not just those people who are the clergy. Not just those people who are on the vestry. Not just those people who are being called to ministry. Not just those people who are working on revising our mission or vision statement. Everyone. We should all be trying to be present and aware of God's Spirit speaking to us in our reflections, our thoughts, our feelings, and our prayers. We should all be finding time each day to listen to that sheer profound silence, allowing the Spirit of God the time and space in our lives so that we may hear the quiet voice of God.